think the thing that a lot of us struggle with in sales is how to find the time to prospect when we're just completely bombarded with travel, servicing other accounts, putting out fires, internal meetings, and of course, everybody's favorite thing in the whole wide world, administrative stuff. Well, today I have a revision of a formula that I've shared many times on this podcast, over on yoursalesplaybook.com on our blog. And today we're going to take a deeper dive into a formula, and we're going to kick it up a notch. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin, I just want to encourage you that this is one of those episodes where there's going to be some things for you to write down. And I know a lot of you always tell me how I ride shotgun with you and you're out in the car and stuff. And that's awesome. But this is one of those episodes that if you're able to pull the car over so that you could take some notes, that would, you know, just help you get the most out of it. If not, I mean, don't take any notes. But I mean, seriously, sometimes trying to commit this stuff to memory, what happens is that the person you're listening to becomes more entertainment than an instructor. And first of all, I really don't think I'm that entertaining. I mean, maybe sometimes, like when I drink a little, like it was Cinco de Mayo here. it would be any different here. It was Cinco de Mayo here yesterday. I don't know what it was yesterday throughout the world, though. But I just realized how asinine that sounded. But, and I treated myself to a Cuban cigar that a relative smuggled into the country. I did not ask any questions how they got it here. I'll just leave that as is. But I also had some really good Mexican food and like a good quantity of tequila. I might have been entertaining. I don't know. I don't remember a whole hell of a lot after that. But the deal is, seriously, folks, if you're able to pull over and take some notes today, it would be a good idea. But there also are two free resources that I'm going to be sharing with you. One of them, there'll be a third resource. That one, I mean, God forbid, you got to shell out a few bucks and invest in yourself. But that one at the end of the episode, I'll share with you. But for now, I want to make sure that you're taking advantage of a freebie that I offer on yoursalesplaybook.com. And every week, I send out free sales tips. And if you'd like to subscribe so that you can get these free sales tips, I want you to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips, right? Isn't that creative that I would name it that? yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips. And having said that, I mean, like 2 minutes in here, I haven't like done anything here. That's way too long. So let us get down to business. So what we're going to be talking about today, it's a topic we've addressed before. I think all of us, we want to prospect, but there's a lot of things that get in the way. And it's travel, and we had mentioned before, servicing your accounts. You guys have fires, as I do. You have internal meetings. You have administrative things. And heck, if you're a one-man act like I am, you also have the deliverables, right? You're the one like in charge of production. So there's a lot on your plate. And we could sit there all day long, right? We could sit here and just make excuses about it, but that's not going to help. So I have a formula that I've shared before, and you guys know it as the 2-2-2 formula. I get a lot of great feedback from you guys on how easy it is to do, how helpful it is. People even send me emails and say, Paul, I scored another account using that simple 2-2-2 formula. Well, today, we're going to do two things. We're going to go deeper into the 2-2-2 formula, but now we're going to unveil the new and improved 2-2-2 formula, because the 222 formula is now, notice how my voice cracked. I feel like I went back in time and went through puberty again. And the 222 formula is now going to become the 2223 formula. I know, I am a creative genius, right? Like, how does Castain think of this creative shit like this? But, you know, it might have been like leftover tequila in my system. I don't know, but hey, man, I'm here to serve. So the one disclaimer that I have to make about this formula that we're going to go over today is that, and I think this is the most misunderstood part of the formula that I teach, is that every time I share this, I'll always have somebody that says, yeah, but Castain, it's not enough. And really what I want to say, because I'm a smartass and I'm from New York, is I want to say, no shit, it's not enough. It is meant to be a complement to a more thorough, in-depth prospecting plan that you have. So let's just say that ideally you carve out time each and every week, whether it be a full day, maybe it's every day, you know, probably, you know, a lot of you it isn't because you've got these other things to do, but maybe, you know, theoretically you're trying to have at least part of 1 to 2 days a week for prospecting. But whatever your system is, this is meant to complement that. More specifically, this is meant to like keep you in the prospecting trenches every day without disrespecting all those other things that you have to do. So having said that and prefacing like a lot this week, I think it's time to get down to business. So the 2-2-2-3 formula is very simply each and every day when you get up in the morning, I want you to get half of these things that I'm about to teach you in the bank. The reason why I want you to get half of them in the bank in the morning is because now you've created momentum. Now you're getting things in the bank before the phone starts ringing, because I don't know about you, yeah, I'm busy, and I'd like to think I'm fairly popular and all that kind of stuff that my ego tells me that I am. But typically, my phone isn't ringing at 5:30 in the morning when I'm starting to get going, or 6 a.m., whatever. So I want to get these things in the bank. So every morning when you're having your coffee, I mean, wake up a little bit so it doesn't sound like you're sending somebody a drunken text like I probably did last night. We still don't know. I don't know. I mean, all I know, I woke up in Brooklyn, by the way, and I live on Long Island, so I really don't know what happened last night. And of course, I'm kidding, but, you know, maybe not. But each and every day, what you want to do is you want to send out two targeted emails. Now, what I want you to do with these two targeted emails is, I mean, if you're doing this every day, you should have templates that you're using and that you do just a tiny bit of customization and you send them out. So I really want you to think about this. If you're doing something every day, you're going to get better at it. You're going to get quicker at it. You're going to have templates that you're going to have aside and you're going to use them. So assuming that you follow those really, and I'm not being a wise ass here, those really simple directions, how long could that activity possibly take you to do? I mean, seriously, if you have the templates and you're sending out two, I mean, what, like 5 minutes of your day? So now, inside of 5 minutes, you've got two targeted emails that are sent. Now, notice how I said targeted emails. You know, you could, I mean, under the same theory, right, of just like sending out like a template, I mean, shit, you could send out like 500 emails if you really wanted to, but I don't want you to do that. I want them targeted, because my feeling is that it's better to have fewer, more targeted communication than a shotgun blast that looks like a shotgun blast, that you sent it out to everybody and their mother. And speaking of which, coming up on Mother's Day, so like, why wouldn't you send it to people's mothers? Don't think like I'm stepping over the line here. It's Mother's Day. Like, people do that shit. So what I'm saying is that if we make it targeted, those emails that you're sending out are going to become more meaningful. There is a phrase that I use to make my emails more targeted. By the way, I use the same phrase to make my cold calls more targeted. I also use it when I'm sending out snail mail and I'm putting a little handwritten note. I use the same phrase. It works across multiple platforms. So again, if you're driving the car, it might be a really cool time to pull over. And the phrase is, I noticed that. I notice that, because what you're going to do by using that phrase, provided you have to do your homework in order to use that phrase. So provided you've done some very quick homework and you found what we refer to as a trigger event. A trigger event is something going on in your prospect or your client's world that would increase the probability of them needing your product or service. So let's just say you've done some very quick research. You've noticed that there is a trigger that might in fact increase their need or that probability of them needing your product or service. You're going to lead off with, I noticed that. It's very, very simple. So that's how you make them more targeted. So that's the first of the 2-2-2-3 formula. Two targeted emails each and every morning. Next, you're going to send out two pieces of snail mail. Two pieces of snail mail. Now, I have a rule for this. What I insist that people do when they're doing, first of all, nobody does snail mail. And you might be thinking, oh yeah, my company does it. Well, they're probably sending out like bulk mail, 30,000 pieces, 20,000. I mean, like you are sending something to someone, again, very targeted, very personal, with that handwritten note. Nobody does it. So that's why I want you to do it. You're doing this before the day really begins, early in the morning, if you're up at 6, 6:30, 5:30, 5 a.m., who gives a damn? Whatever time you're up, I want you to do this. And what you're going to do here is write a little note to people. Now, I want to give you a few ideas that nobody does. When you think about an intro, if I said to you right now, you know, how do you usually approach someone for the first time? How do you introduce yourself and your company to another person? Well, usually it's going to come down to one or two things that we hear. And you know, the percentages really don't matter, but it's really one of two things that we hear. It's either most people are approaching through email. It is a really noisy channel. Doesn't mean it doesn't work. It just means that you have a lot of competition doing the same thing. Other people tell me, no, I pick up the phone and I introduce myself that way. Both of them are perfectly fine. But I'm also here to tell you that they're typical channels for introductions. That doesn't mean that they suck or they should not be used. I want to make sure you hear me. Let's continue to use them, but let's change it up a little bit. Let's be a little bit different here. This is where you might want to do a handwritten intro, like a handwritten note or on a card or something like that. Simply because of all the ways that reps are introducing themselves to the buyers at these companies that you're trying to get in front of, I will tell you, very few of them are approaching them with a handwritten note. Therefore, I sounded very smart when I said that, didn't I? Therefore, Professor Castain here talking to you. I almost wanted to say a third therefore, but I realize I'm kind of beating the shit out of a point here, or a word. What happens then is it then gives you an opportunity to stand out. So consider using those two pieces of snail mail each day as an intro. But here's something else I talked about on my blog today. And if you want to go look it up, and I know sometimes you guys listen to these months and sometimes years, or you know, even it could be as few as maybe a few weeks or whatever after the fact. But if you'd like to go back onto yoursalesplaybook.com, go to my blog and look up May 6th, 2018. May 6th, 2018. And what you will find is that I did a blog post earlier today on something that people hardly ever do in sales. And it's to send and make sure you hear me, because you can think, oh no, everybody does that, but just make sure you hear me out here. It's sending a thank you after you've had a phone call with someone that didn't result in a next step, or especially like, you know, an appointment or whatever it is. Because I want you to think about this. What typically happens after we have, let's say it's a good phone call, where maybe you're kicking around a few ideas, or they tell you, yeah, well, yeah, I am having some challenges with that or whatever. And for whatever reason, it just doesn't move forward. Maybe they stall and they say, you know what? I mean, we're going to be coming up on summer. And, you know, like a lot of people, they love to use the time of year as the stalling, you know, the reason for the stall. Yeah, you know what? Call me back after summer. And, you know, in the winter time at year end, you know what they're going to be saying then? Call me back, at, you know, after the holidays or in the new year or whatever. So what typically happens here is that the sales rep then makes a note in their CRM, sets an alarm for whatever amount of time for a follow-up. Now, again, if you want to stand out using snail mail, if you had a really good conversation with somebody, why not send them a handwritten thank you? Thank yous are not just reserved for the people who grant you an appointment or the people who are buying from you or whatever. They should also be used for those good conversations that you had with someone to kind of remind them that, hey, you know, I'm here, and, you know, being courteous and thanking them for their time, maybe even reiterating a point that you discussed that maybe they really kind of perked up when you mentioned it or whatever. But there's even another thing that you can do too with these handwritten notes. Don't forget, when you have an assistant who is really, really helpful, be sure to send them a handwritten thank you, because nobody ever thanks the assistant. In fact, most people, when it comes to assistants, they love to call them the gatekeeper. And really, I mean, and, you know, pardon me for being a little colorful with my language, they're the person everybody shits on. So if you really want to stand out, that's another thing that you can do. And you can send them a little note. But now, that is half of the formula. So far, we have two targeted emails in the morning. We're going to do two of these pieces of snail mail, handwritten component in there. I gave you a few ideas. Oh, wait a minute. Hold it. Very, very important. I almost forgot probably the most kick-ass thing that you can do with a handwritten note. And again, it's something nobody does. I'm telling you, nobody does this shit. What you might want to do is you might want to go on LinkedIn and look at the little, like if you have the mobile app, look at the little bell that's at the bottom of the screen. Those are your notifications. You click on that every single day and just like scan it very, very quickly. You're going to see little things on there like congratulate Jane on her new job, or congratulate Paul on his promotion. You might see like a happy birthday or whatever it is. Congratulate Paul on 7 years with Castaigne Training Systems or whatever. Most people, I think a vast majority of people, just blow those things off because they've become meaningless on LinkedIn. And I think that's a valid point. You get a lot of other people who, no, I'm gonna wish Paul a happy anniversary or whatever. And they use that crappy LinkedIn template that everybody and their mother, again, we're honoring mothers a week before Mother's Day here in the States. And like everybody uses that crappy thing. And they've become just very, very typical and boring, and to the point like where people do massive eye rolls. So what if you were to look at those every single day, spend a few minutes, and if it's someone in a company that you're trying to get in to see, you don't have to do 20 of these. I'm saying maybe that could be your one or two that you're doing, pieces of snail mail. Instead of contacting them through LinkedIn, how cool would it be if you sent them a card, handwritten note, congratulating them on that new role, on that new job, on that work anniversary? Maybe, God forbid, we have a few like birthday cards and do like what my Aunt Anna used to do, and like actually send like a hand, like a little like happy birthday note. I mean, hasn't that like it really, it's not that typical anymore. I mean, seriously, that was something like, I remember when I was growing up, man, you'd always get cards and stuff like, nobody does it. And that is your cue to do it because you get to stand out. I mean, all of us, like we are competing in a world that has gotten way too noisy and way too typical. This is the kind of stuff that other people will eye roll me and say, of course, that's sales 101. Yeah, but are you doing it? And then you see them break eye contact. They go from eye roll to breaking eye contact. I'm looking at their phone. I think I got something coming in here because I'm an asshole and I don't, you know, like I like to like say it's sales 101 so I don't have to actually do it. You know what I mean? Like that kind of dickish stuff. So that's one of the things you could do. So now we move on to the third two in the 2-2-2 formula, and then we got one more thing to do, man, and we can wrap up this craziness here. The last thing you're gonna, I would recommend that you do at a more godly hour, and it's basically calling two people that you are not doing business with. Okay, all of these things should be going to people that you're not doing business with. Don't do the safe shit and rely on your existing accounts. I mean, you should have a formula for them too, but the whole gist of today's podcast is how do we keep like prospecting and getting our name in front of people and keeping up like with those like sales prospecting chops that we need so desperately that we don't want to like, you know, get weak in those areas. How do we do that? Well, that's the third two. That's part of it. And what you're going to do is call two people that you're not doing business with. If I could make a suggestion, because this one tends to be the harder one for a lot of people. It's like, you know, Paul, you know, I was fine with the email. It doesn't take long. When you add in, you know, the handwritten pieces of snail mail, whatever, I could see easily doing these two things within about 20 minutes every single morning. I get it. But the phone call, man, it's like I just can't be at two places at once and do that. Well, I would offer you this. Is first of all, I mean, maybe if you've just simply like scheduled 15 minutes a day on your calendar, maybe at different times to make those two calls. Another thing that you could do is, but you have to be safe with this because I don't know about you guys, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. There are like a lot of shitty drivers on the road. And the thing that really disturbs me is that I'm seeing, like, a lot of the time when I'm encountering people blowing stop signs and drifting into lanes and stuff, a lot of these people are texting and dicking around with their phone and reading emails and things like that. And it's just, it's not smart. I don't think it's worth jeopardizing your life and certainly someone else's. I mean, I don't know about you. I couldn't forgive myself if I hurt somebody because I was an asshole and I couldn't pull over my car to do something. I mean, seriously, man, it's like we all get that you're busy, but you really have to be careful with this. But when it comes to like making those two calls, what if you were like really safe about it and you use your Bluetooth and you call two people while you were commuting somewhere, maybe while you were commuting to your office, maybe while you're on your way to an appointment or on your way back from an appointment. Maybe there's time between appointments and you could pull over the car and you could make those two calls. But if you really get dedicated to this formula, you're going to find a way and not cling to an excuse. That's going to, like, I can't tell you how many times my coaching clients, when I'm talking with them about this, they'll say, you know, show me where in my schedule I can fit in two calls. And my response is, because I don't baby my coaching clients, is I'm not going to find it. You find that shit. You find like the opportunity to do it because I'm not going to hold a gun to your head and make you do this. I'm just here to tell you that if you want to keep up your appearances and you want to keep your muscles strong, you're going to find a way. But if not, just keep giving me stupid excuses, man. There is no reason why you can't find time to do two calls. I didn't notice here. This formula isn't like the 2-2-200 or the 2-2-20. It's two effing calls a day, man. It's like, find the time to do it. That's why I made this simple, so that no excuses could possibly be rendered. So the other thing that I just want to mention to you, I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes there's value in just doing the two calls later on, like on your way home, getting people after hours or whatever. I worked with someone years ago, CEO of a company, and he had a very good theory. he loved to call people after hours, and he would call them like 6, 6:15, not only because he could get a hold of them, but because he felt that people were less guarded after hours. You know, during the day, they're getting lots of calls. They're into their routine, maybe blowing people off all day. They're just used to shooing away salespeople. But after hours, phone isn't ringing as much. And he found that because they were tired, the guard was down, that it was more productive. Who knows? Maybe something worth experimenting with. So now that's the 2-2-2 portion. We've talked about that forever, right? Those of you who've been following me a while, nothing new there except we took a deeper dive into some of the things you could be doing and even when you could be doing these things. So now it's time for the unveiling of the newest addition to the 2-2-2 formula. It's the 3. So it's now going to be 2-2-2-3. The 3 part also should not shock you. If you've been listening to me for a while, if you've been reading my blog, I have been preaching this for no less than 5 or 6 years now. I think it's been longer than that, quite frankly. And what I want you to do 3 times a week is have 3 calls with 3 of your connections in your LinkedIn network. 3 calls with 3 of your connections in your LinkedIn network. Now, why would I tell you to do that? Because number one, see, I love this. I ask a question, I answer my own damn question. This is really cool. But anyway, because most people, they do jack shit with their LinkedIn network. Seriously. I mean, they connect and they do nothing. I mean, people love to piss and moan on LinkedIn. And that's nothing wrong with LinkedIn. It's just people in general. And they'll complain about how people will connect with them and hit them up immediately with the sales pitch. I'm here to tell you that that isn't as popular of a maneuver as you think. I mean, yeah, it happens. But there's something that just beats the hell out of it, probably tenfold. And here it is. It's people who connect with you and never reach out to you again. There's more people doing nothing with their network than aggravating people with an immediate sales pitch. The thing of it is that all of us are sitting on a gold mine on LinkedIn. I'm not saying that you should spend the next like 70 hours a week dicking around on LinkedIn. What I am saying is that you want to transition those relationships off of your screen, that computer screen where it's a static, useless name, and transition it into real time with like a phone call. And you know, there's some people that I know, which I love their enthusiasm and how they do it, and I even do this to an extent, is that what they'll do is when they're traveling to a certain area, they'll look up some of their local connections and suggest maybe getting a cup of coffee with them. They'll do this in their local area as well. I think those are all good, but for the sake of this discussion, I'm focusing on those who are like too busy for any of that stuff. What you want to do is like 3 people a week. You want to start alphabetically and send them an email, each one of them. And I call it the embarrassed email. And what you're simply doing is saying, hey, you know, hi, Jane, we've been connected for a while and I'm embarrassed that I have never once reached out to you to get to know you better. What do you say we change that? And then what I would do is just give Jane 2 scheduling options like I would if I cold called Jane. You know, how is your schedule looking? And the way I always do it, by the way, when I'm setting up an appointment, whether it be on a cold call or one of these embarrassed emails, there's a very simple way that I give 2 options. My first option, the first scheduling option I always give someone is earlier in the week, earlier in the day. The second option that I give people, later in the week, later in the day. Now, this particular email that I send out has about a 95% both response and success rate, where like I actually get on the phone with people. There are people that are just really bad at responding on LinkedIn. I typically don't keep them around too long. I like to give benefit of the doubt because they could be going through something. But if I've reached out to someone for a while and I look when I go to send them an email, And this just happened last week when I was sending out a bunch of emails. I looked and I scrolled back and I'm like, holy shit, man, this, I've been emailing this person since 2015, not like one response. And it's not salesy stuff I was sending them. I was sending them resources, trying to introduce them to people, suggested a call like on three different occasions. I'm like, and we're done. I just don't have room for non-responders, especially chronic non-responders. But what I do is with those other people like who respond and want to get on a phone call, what I do with them is I make that call about them. It's not designed to get someone on the phone and go, aha, I tricked you, buy my shit. No, it's to get them on the phone and do something that most people screw up royally at networking events. And let me tell you what it is, okay? When we go to networking events, especially salespeople, here's what happens. We find ourselves many times fighting to get an edge in word-wise, a word in edgewise with the person we're talking with. And what happens is they're so busy trying to tell their story, we're so busy trying to tell our story, and nobody's listening to anybody. Nobody really gives a shit what the other person is saying. And it becomes just a competitive type of thing to just like, you know, get a word in. So what I recommend is we do something counterintuitive. Don't try to get a word in. Seriously, do something that nobody's going to do with them and actually give a shit about them. Seriously, like ask them questions about them. Prepare for that call like you would like a legit appointment. Do your pre-call planning research. Look at their LinkedIn profile. Ask them some questions without them, you know, like coming across as creepy or whatever. And just ask them questions about their background. Learn more about them. But at the end of the call, what I always recommend that you do would be two things. The first thing, as you're wrapping up, say something like, well, you know, Jane, I do a lot of these calls every week. I meet a lot of people just like you. Is there someone that I should be on the lookout for you? Or is there a resource or a service that I should be looking for you? Now, that's what I say to a buyer, because a buyer isn't going to be looking for a customer usually unless, you know, it's the buyer and they're the president, or they're the buyer and they're in a sales role. But typically the people that we're dealing with who are buyers, they're going to be like hopefully looking for a resource. Sometimes you'll talk to someone and if they feel comfortable with you, they might even share with you that they're like secretly job hunting. So that could be something you could help them with. So again, my first question is, what should I be, or who should I be on the lookout for you that would be helpful for you? I meet all kinds of people. Is there a person or a type of service that I should be on the lookout for you? If I come across it, I should facilitate a warm introduction. So now you ask that question. You are starting with them. Now that can segue very nicely into you asking for something. Now what I do at the end of each one of those calls that I have every week is after I ask that question, I say, listen, if you don't mind, if you happen to meet anybody that is in need of a sales coach, a sales trainer, or perhaps a sales speaker or, you know, like kickoff keynote or whatever, could you pass them, you know, pass along my information or whatever? Now, you could go more specific than that. And you could, like, if you're comfortable with them, you could paint that picture like I did and said, you know, like, here's what I do. You know, who do you know that might be able to benefit from this particular type of service? And then if you really want to kick it up a notch, what you do is give them three different groups of people to help them think of the referral. So what you might say is, you know, who do you know that might be able to benefit from our printing services or our widget or our sales training? Perhaps your boss, perhaps one of your vendors, or even maybe someone else in your LinkedIn network. But give them three groups of people. And the reason why we do that is because that's how the brain files things away, by category. And that's how you can help people actually think of people that might be able to use your products or services. So now, if you do three of these calls a week, now if, like, let's just say only a third of them result in a referral for you. That's 50 more a year. And again, we're not doing anything here that represents, like, oh, geez, man, I love the system Castain just gave us. I mean, he's got us, like, you know, sweating our ass off here, like, 5 days a week. No, it was simply 2-2-2-3. But now, there's some tricky stuff here at play that I didn't tell you. So this stuff really adds up. If you take the first three numbers, the 2-2-2 in this formula, those are your email and your snail mail and your phone calls every day. It adds up to 1,500 more a year. Now, if you take these LinkedIn warm calls and we do three of them a week, it's going to result in 150 more people that know you better. Now, I want you to think of something. And please don't answer this out loud because you're going to get a random drug test from HR. Is going to hear, oh, Mary is talking at his computer screen again, rambling on or whatever, you know. What if people know you better on LinkedIn, do you think that they would be more likely to send a referral your way? Do you think they would be more likely to facilitate a warm intro? Now, imagine this now. If you use all these components and you get them to work together in the 2-2-2-3 formula. So let's just say that you find a company that, you know, and a person at this particular company you're trying to get in to see, and you happen to connect with this person on LinkedIn. Now, you know, you after like a little bit of back and forth, you have one of these like get to know you phone calls that I talked about, and everything's great, and you're kind of warming things up or whatever. I mean, now I think there's a higher probability of transitioning that. But let's just say that goes nowhere. But now you have someone else that you're trying to get in to see. And you look, because you're going to do your research and do your homework, and you're going to notice that that person that you spoke to a few weeks before happens to know this person. Now, because you've spoken with them, you can go back to them and say, hey, listen, man, feel free to say no. But and put your cards on the table. I'm actually trying to get in to see Janice. I noticed that she's the VP of sales, and you know, I see that their company is going through A, B, and C, and I think I might be able to help them. I noticed that you guys actually worked together in a previous, you know, sales life or whatever it is. You know, would you be able, like, to give me a little bit of background on Janice and possibly, you know, give me an introduction? If they say no, they say no. But I found that, to me, speaking to those three people a week on LinkedIn has made a huge difference beyond just some of them, many of them turning into clients, by the way. It's really done well for me on warm introductions, man, a ton of those, because I've been doing this formula since 2010. I've been working this. That's 8 years of this. And there's been times in there where I've really stepped up my LinkedIn activity, and I've done as many of ten to 15 of these phone calls. I haven't been able to do that in years, by the way, but right before I launched my business, I decided, boy, more people are gonna need to know who I am if I wanna be successful at this. So I really stepped up those phone calls. So it got to the point that when I launched my business, I just simply sent out word to everybody I had spoken with. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to oversimplify this or bullshit anybody listening to this. I've documented this on numerous occasions. Within the first 30 days of launching Castain Training Systems, I was able to bring in 45 clients pretty much right from LinkedIn and pretty much right from the group of people I had spoken with. So it really pays off. Now, I have a freebie for you. If you'd like to get a step-by-step plan on how I take those three appointments a week, like how do I have that call? How do I approach people on LinkedIn? If you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourappointments, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourappointments. I'll be happy to send it out to you. But now I want to close with a few thoughts for you. This system, again, if you're doing those two emails, two phone calls, two pieces of snail mail, when I say every day, I mean Monday through Friday. If you want to do this on Saturday and Sunday, hell, man, those numbers are going to go up even more than what I gave you. But just doing this Monday through Friday, two emails, two phone calls, two pieces of snail mail each and every day, you're going to have 1,500 more. By doing the three warm calls a week on LinkedIn, you're going to have another 150 a year. But you will be accomplishing so much more than what you're accomplishing now. You're going to be keeping up your appearances, which keeps your suspects warm. People will know who you are. Wouldn't you agree that a lot of what we do in sales gets derailed when people are distracted by the fact they don't know who the hell you are? There you are, you're calling them, and it's like, I'm sorry, who is this? And let's kind of put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Have you had situations where you're getting an email from someone trying to sell you something, and you're spending more time trying to figure out who the hell this person is than what they're actually saying? I mean, it happens. It's a distraction. But the other thing, which is huge, is that you're going to be keeping your prospecting muscles strong. And when you keep your prospecting muscles strong, you are building your confidence. Here's what's happening now, folks. We all have great intentions of hitting the phones. How many times have you felt yourself saying, maybe at the beginning of the week, saying, you know what, this week I'm definitely going to get on the phones, man. I got to keep up my appearances. Then you have 20,000 fires that pop up, all these things going on, and you're in response mode the whole week. And that happens week after week, and that adds up too. So this will serve as something that you do kind of to put prospecting in a holding pattern. We're not going to get rich from working this formula. It is certainly not going to hurt us in any way. It is designed as a complement to something more thorough. And my definitions of something more thorough might be, like, for example, if you're a person, we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, maybe twice a week for half a day you're on the phone, or once a week, it might be 2 days a month, whatever it is. This now is designed to be consistent, to keep up your appearances. Now, last but not least, if you like this tip and you'd like to get like a whole mess more, I'm actually going to be sharing 75 ideas and 20 sales templates during our Prospect Like a Pro download. This is something I've already pre-recorded, and what's really cool about it, if I do say so, is that you can go at your pace. So it's not like you have to show up on Thursday and, you know, at this day and this time. You guys are busy, so you could like do part of a session at 5:30 in the morning, another part on your lunch break, however way you want to do it. But the whole point of this program, it's called Prospect Like a Pro, is to help you develop your prospecting chops, give you 75 ideas, and I'm going to give you 20 templates. And the way those templates are, just so you know, I have 15 email templates, I have 4 voicemail templates, and I have 1 opening statement template for you to use. If you'd like to learn more and download your copy, I would highly recommend that you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. Now, the one thing I'm going to tell you is that we're only going to be offering this until May 17th. I offer this once a year, and, you know, I promote it once a year, and then I pretty much move on. So if you want to snatch a copy, my suggestion is, you know, it's really not a big investment for you to make. You're not going to have to, like, sell off a kidney or, like, cash, like, you know, go and refinance the house. My advice is that you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthephone. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. For more information about my one-on-one coaching programs, training programs, or speaking engagements, visit www.yoursalesplaybook.com.